carbon, it'll spin your wheels. Liberated carbon, it'll nuke your meals. Liberated carbon, it'll turn your night to day. Come on and liberate some carbon, babe. It's the American way.
Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about some of the impacts of liberated carbon, or at least it looks like one of the worst droughts in Brazilian history underway now may have something to do with global warming. We're going to find out what Dan Nepstad thinks. He is a senior scientist at the Woods Hole Research Center and also the founder of the Amazon Institute of Ecological Research in Belém, Brazil. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We want to have you on the show because all of us at EcoTalk were really dismayed and depressed by this front page article in Sunday's New York Times, in which you were quoted extensively about this devastating drought. Before we get into the effects, is there a sense that this is something to do with global warming?
There may be a signal. It's consistent with global warming, and that with global warming, we will expect ocean temperatures to rise. And it looks like it's a heating of the North Atlantic off the coast of Africa that probably triggered this drought.
So it's apparently the worst drought in the Amazon in decades, with 81% less average rainfall?
Yeah, it's in terms of river discharge, a similar drought happened back in the 60s, but it was a more localized drought. This is really scary. It's scary to me because it came out of nowhere. And, we're used to seeing El Nino, the heating of the southern Pacific, leading to drought in the Amazon, mostly in the eastern end. This one came out of nowhere, and it caught everyone by surprise.
I understand the government of Brazil has declared a state of emergency in some 61 municipalities.
Yes, and thankfully some of we're well into the rainy season now, and so some of the really critical areas are being alleviated now by rains.
Oh, good. Happy to hear that. Paint a visual picture for us, though, of what it has been looking like along the rivers in the Amazon, rivers that I imagine are usually a lot fuller than what you've seen in the height of this drought.
Well, if you can imagine that for the people who live up and down the banks of the rivers, and these tend to be quite poor people who live off of fishing and hunting and gathering of fruits, and they might sell some Aniot flour to the local village, but the river is their life. The way they get around, it's the way they get into the city, it's the way they get to school. If they're sick, to get to the hospital or clinic, they need the river. And so the rivers have gone down so far that, even small boats have not been able to get through. And that's a big part of the problem, just the isolation of people who are already very much isolated. A more worrisome problem, actually, though, is when you have these towns which, because of the huge amounts of water moving by, they tend not to have septic systems. Less than 10% of these towns have proper sewage treatment, and that is not a problem if there's plenty of dilution. But you turn down the volume of water moving through those rivers, and suddenly you've got cesspool-type conditions developing around these towns.
What about impact on fisheries?
There have been huge patches of fish die-offs. We still don't know the impacts of these die-offs on the overall health of the populations of fish. The cause appears to be oxygen depletion, as what is usually a fairly large volume of water that's churning around and taking in oxygen becomes very small, and you get stagnant pools that are choked, and so the fish are suffocating. A number of the mammals, the Amazon River has dolphins, for example, and manatees, and they've been found dead. We don't have good numbers on that either yet.
Mm. I understand by 2020, scientists are estimating that 25% of the original extent of the Amazon forest will be gone. And are we looking at that time frame shortening if drought comes into the picture more frequently? And also, what's happening to trees that are stressed during the drought conditions? Is it possible that they're not metabolizing as much CO2 as they normally would?
Right. As far as the rate of destruction, that's about right. We've got our own predictions for the year 2050. We'll probably lose about half at current rates, half to clear cutting. And what is very worrisome is what is in the background, that is this sort of cryptic impoverishment of the forest through drought, through fire, and through selective logging of timber. And that is more than doubles the rate at which we're losing the forest. And this drought itself, we've been running for the last seven years a very large simulation of a dry Amazon by actually excluding half of the rainfall coming into a patch of rainforest. And what was frightening to us was that the first organisms to really start giving up and dying are the big trees. They're not the little trees as we had thought. They're the big trees. So these are the trees that are, you know, more than 100 feet tall. They're casting the dense shade on the forest interior that keeps those forests from catching fire even after 3 or 4 months without rain. And half of the Amazon is in that condition. So what we have out there right now, and we're busy modeling that and mapping that, are vast stretches of forest in which the soil is dry as a bone. The rains are starting to come in, and it will all be a matter of how much of that dry soil is replenished with water to know if we really have a catastrophe in the coming dry season.
And, I mean, we're talking about the rainforest, obviously a place that gets a lot of precipitation normally. To say this is one of the worst droughts in decades, if not the worst, does that mean just relative to how much rain you'd normally get in this area, you're hurting, or that you really have had almost no rain until very recently?
By North American temperate zone standards, it would still be quite a bit of rain, you know, on the order of 15 to 20 inches, 30 inches, and it's very variable. But, yes, when you're sitting on the equator, there's so much sun, there's so much heat that you're pumping about a quarter of an inch or more water into the atmosphere each day just through evaporation.
I've never been to those Brazilian rainforests. I have been to a couple of others that so rich with wildlife and lush and green. Is that starting to be impacted, wildlife and just the deep greens that we see all over the rainforest?
It's funny because typically a drought associated with an El Nino event is followed by a La Nina, which is a year of abundant rain. And there actually is an abundance of tree fruiting. And it's been shown, at least in Panama, that wildlife expands following a drought. But there's no suggestion yet that the coming year will be wetter than usual, as is usually the case with El Nino. And so there's certainly a lot of wildlife that's being pushed to the edge right now. Certainly the carrion feeders are having a heyday just in feeding on all of the wildlife in the waters that have perished. But a lot of these things we're just now starting to get a handle on. That is, what are the impacts of this drought going to be for big mammals, for example?
Mm. And is this perhaps another call, or should it be, to the rest of the world, especially us, the ones not part of Kyoto, to really move in earnest to do more about reducing global warming, if this is, in fact, you know, one of the causes?
This is the sort of thing, the sort of surprise that is very much consistent with global warming scenarios, and we are into the warming. What really strikes me is that this heating of the Atlantic just north of the equator is very likely the same cause of two phenomenally destructive things. One is the Katrina and the loss of New Orleans, and the other is this big hit on the Amazon basin. I see this really as the Amazon itself as somewhat of a canary in the mine shaft. And we're watching the Amazon more closely than we are any other rainforest, and it's in need of help. And we can slow down the chainsaws, and we can slow down the clearing to cattle pasture. The Brazilian government is making big steps in that direction. But if we don't address global warming, the rainforest will be shrunk down to a small fraction of where they are today.
You mentioned canaries. Are they normally in the rainforest, and are they being affected? I know you meant it in a figurative way, but literally, I picture that kind of bird there.
Yeah, there's, you know, the birds most affected are going to be the big frugivores, the fruit-eating birds, and the parakeets and parrots and macaws and but, yeah, the Amazon is home to something like 15% of the world's bird species. And the shame, the great shame of it is that, of course, we don't know. We haven't had the luxury of imposing big drought experiments at a regional scale in the Amazon to know what effect this will have on wildlife. So there are a lot of unknowns in this story.
So, Dan, If our listeners want to learn more about your work and the Amazon Institute of Ecological Research, is there a website or a place I can go to for more information and perhaps support what you're doing?
For the Woods Hole Research Center, it's www.whrc.org. And for EPOM, the center, which is based in Belém, www.ipam.org.br.
And we just have about 1 minute left. Dan, if you can just tell us maybe personally how this has been for you, working in this area for so long and seeing the devastation from this drought.
Well, in recent years, I've actually become somewhat of an optimist. And as I see after 21 years of watching what's going on in the Amazon, and optimist in the sense that there are many signs that particularly the Brazilian government and markets are starting to favor sound land use in the Amazon and perhaps eventually slow down the rate of clearing. But what discourages me about this last year is that the Earth system is what's going awry now. And if we lose the world climate system, then there's not much that we can do on the ground to prevent big destruction in the Amazon.
Disturbing as well put as you put that, it's equally disturbing. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking with Dan Nebstadt. He's a senior scientist at the Woods Hole Research Center, talking about a drought that is severely affecting the rainforest in Brazil and the people who rely on it for a livelihood. You're listening to EcoTalk. We'll be right back after these messages. Find out more about this new announcement from the Energy Department, what it means for us.